Good morning, brethren. Happy Sabbath to you all. It's great to be here, and it's great to see all your smiling faces. Well, brethren, today I would like to talk about love. If Jesus Christ stood in front of you and asked you, "Do you love me?" what would you say? I suspect, since we're all sitting here in church, we'd all say, "Yes, Lord, I love you." But I'd like to go deeper today. How do you love God? If you love Jesus, how do you love him? If you love Jesus, what kind of love do you have for him? Maybe better stated, what motivates your love for Jesus? So when you say, "I love you, Jesus," what exactly do you mean? To help us answer these questions, brethren, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where something very similar to this happened. So today I want you to examine your love for Jesus Christ. I want us all to examine our love for Jesus Christ. So if you would, please turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 21. And we'll start in verse 15. And while you're turning there, I'll just give you a little bit of context in what led up to this particular passage, this particular situation. We all know that the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, had denied Jesus the night that they came and took him away to be crucified. And what made that even worse is that very same night, Peter had told Jesus that he would lay down his life for him. After the resurrection, at some point, Peter and some of the other disciples decided to go fishing. They went back to their old job as fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. And they were fishing all night. And dawn came, morning came, and they see a figure on the shore. And John goes, tells Peter, that's the Lord, that's Jesus. And Peter is so excited, he jumps out of the boat and swims to shore before the boat can even get there. And they have breakfast together. And so that's where we're going to pick up the story. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So to answer the first question, I'd like us to think about it, how do we love Jesus? We see that our Lord here gave us a principle. He said, if you love me, right, then do this. What did he tell Peter? He said, if you love me, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. So we see that principle here. I think it's interesting that Jesus changed his answer a little bit every single time. Because what he was really saying, I think what we all understand he was saying was, Peter, take care of my people. Take care of my flock. Shepherd them when they're young, when they're little lambs, and they can't really help themselves so much. Feed them. Give them what they need. And maybe when they get older, maybe those adult sheep, they can go off to pasture and they can eat whatever they want. And you don't really need to necessarily feed them, but you still need to tend them, take care of them, make sure they're safe. And then maybe when that sheep gets really old, and he's getting jostled, and the younger sheep are eating everything before the old one can get there. Then he says, "Feed my sheep." So from young to old, he wants Peter to take care of his brethren, take care of his people in every single situation, never abandon them at any point in time. So we see that, brethren, this principle here, that you have to do something. You can't just say, "I love you," and not do anything. So to love God here, I think we see, means that we have to help and care for other people. The brethren, obviously, but also people at large, the world at large. You don't have to turn there, but Galatians 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So clearly, our brethren take a little bit more precedence, but we should be loving all men. And also, brethren, I'd like to just bring in another point, that to love God means to keep his commandments, because his commandments show us how we love other people. Okay? Otherwise, it's just the whims of society and culture and, I'm doing the right thing. I'm showing love. Well, maybe not. God's commandments show us how to truly love other people. And Romans 13, verse 10 would be a good support for that. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, if you keep the law, you are showing love to other people, and you're obviously showing love to God as well. So, I think that's how we would want to answer that first question about how do we love God. Secondly, what kind of love do you have for Jesus? What motivates your love for Jesus? Well, let's look at what kind of love that Peter had for Jesus. You know, if I were to have to sum up his personality in one word, I would use the word passionate. Peter was passionate. If you think about what he had done in previous times, you know, Christ wanted to wash the disciples' feet, and Peter said, you'll never wash my feet, right? And they said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So then Peter says, well, then wash my head and my feet and everything. Just go all out, right? He was the one who brought the sword. He was ready to literally go to war for Jesus. And he cut off the ear of the high priest. You know, he probably went like this, ear gets cut off. He's ready to go to battle. Very passionate. He's also the one who had the audacity to try to rebuke the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you get killed. That, far be it for me that that ever happens to you. And then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, right? He's passionate. And so he's driven by his emotions, I think, is the kind of personality that Peter had. This was originally written in Greek. So the kind of love that Peter had is actually specified a little bit better in Greek than it is in English. And the two words here, I have to give credit to Mr. George DeCampos for pointing this out to me. But in this passage, the word translated love is actually two different words. One is agape love. And agape love, we all know, is godly love. It's the love that is more of a decision that we make. It's an intentional and deliberate choice, and it's an action. It's the kind of love when Jesus said, love your enemies, he used the word agape. Well, you can, I guess, love your enemies, but you don't necessarily like them, right? It doesn't come naturally. They're your enemies. So that's one kind of love. That's godly love. That's the hardest kind to have. And in fact, it doesn't come naturally. It can only come supernaturally to have agape love. I suppose you could fake it for a little bit, but after a while, you know, without God's help, it cannot be part of your character because it's not a natural kind of love. And the second word that's used, translated love here, is filial love. And filial love, we get the word Philadelphia from, brotherly love. It's more of a feeling. It's that warm feeling you get in your heart for your friend or your family. And it comes naturally. So let's read this passage again, but I'm going to insert the Greek words here that are translated. And I think you'll find that there's a rich meaning here when we understand these two different words and how they're used. So going back to verse 15, it says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you agape me more than these? Do you put me number one in your life? Have you decided to make me number one in your life? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. And then the third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you filio me? And Peter says, he's grieved because he said to him the third time, do you filio me? He questioned his filial love, what he was asserting the whole time. He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I filio you. So that changes things a little bit, I think, in this passage and how we understand what was really going on. And as I was meditating and sort of thinking about this, preparing the sermon, I realized something. I realized, wait a second. This is written in Greek, but they weren't speaking Greek. They were 99% sure they were speaking Aramaic. So I know that we take it on faith that this is what they meant. This is what was communicated. These Greek words are accurate in what they communicated. But these weren't the actual words that they said. I think we know that. And I bring that up because I tried to imagine sort of maybe what really happened, what really was said. And as I was imagining how this might have happened, it might have gone something like this. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you with all my heart. You're like family to me, right? Because that's what filio means. It's that feeling that you have. It's not necessarily a choice you make, but that's a feeling you have. And he said a second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, of course, you know that I love you with my whole heart. You're like my brother. And a third time, Jesus maybe stood right in front of him, took him by both shoulders and said, Peter, do you really love me like family? Do you really love me like your brother? And maybe that's why he was so grieved. Because, you know, but yes, of course, you know that I love you with my whole heart. You know, perhaps Peter thought, from his perspective, that he was expressing the highest form of love possible. I love you with my whole heart. And it would have been consistent with his personality. But clearly, brethren, Peter did not possess agape love. I think that's what that passage shows. He never says he agapes Jesus. He says he philios him. You know, he needed to make that choice, and he hadn't done it yet. And, you know, poor Peter, he couldn't have agape love, right? Because it's a gift from God. We know that agape is a gift from God because Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is agape. It's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit in you. It's something that God has to give you. But, you know, Jesus did prophesy that Peter would have agape in the future. If we read on here, it says in verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. See, Peter was crucified for his faith. At some point in time, he made that choice. It wasn't a heart thing anymore. It was more of a head thing. He said, I am going to love God no matter what, no matter if I'm sad, lonely, in pain. I'm going to choose to love God, and I'm going to choose to do what he told me to do, to love the brethren, to always love everybody that I see, to seek their welfare and their well-being. That's a godly love, and it's so hard to have, and you can't have it without God's help. But obviously he did. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So in conclusion, brethren, if God asked you, and he is asking you, do you love me? I want us to think about our answer. If you love God, how do you love him? Do you care for others? Do you keep his commandments? If you love God, what kind of love do you have for him? Is it agape, filio, or both? Now, there's nothing wrong with filio. Filio is wonderful. And in fact, it's very important because 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if you want to look this up later, it says, if anyone does not filio love, if anyone does not filio the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. I don't want to be accursed. I'm sure you don't want to either. So it's very, very important. But it's harder to have agape. It's a decision we make, but only God can help us be faithful to that decision. So when the going gets tough and we're severely persecuted for our faith in Christ, I believe it is coming soon, will you still love him? Will you make that decision to manifest a self-sacrificial love like Peter did, no matter what? Brethren, if we strive to live a life of agape love and ask God for his help, he will help us, I know that. And then we will be able to fulfill his command when he tells us, follow me.